الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها. آمين يا رب العالمين. إن شاء الله we will begin juice 7 today. سورة المائدة آية number 82. لا تجدن أشد الناس عداوة للذين آمنوا اليهود والذين أشركوا. You will surely find the most intense of the people in animosity toward the believers to be the Jews and those who associate others with Allah, the polytheists. And you will find the nearest of them in affection to the believers, those who say we are Christians. That is because among them are priests and monks, and because they are not arrogant. And when they hear what has been revealed to the messenger, you see their eyes overflowing with tears because of what they have recognized of the truth. They say, "Our Lord, we have believed, so register us among the witnesses." Because these people are not arrogant, you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, being affected by the Quran and accepting the truth. And why should we not believe in Allah and what has come to us of the truth? And we aspire that our Lord will admit us to paradise with the righteous people. Quran affects us. The ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affect us because they go straight to our core, the soul. But as Muslims, does it really affect us? Despite the fact that we already are Muslims, do the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affect us in the same manner? Do we appreciate them? Do we have any arrogance within us? Subhanallah, we have to ask ourselves. The Quran has a physical effect on our bodies and our souls. فَآتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ بِمَا قَالُوا جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So Allah rewarded them for what they said, with gardens in paradise beneath which rivers flow, wherein they abide eternally, and that is a reward of the doers of good. What was their action? Their admission and acceptance of truth and commitment to Allah's religion, Islam. When someone accepts Islam, they actually revert back to their fitra, they revert back to the truth. Allah wipes away all of their previous sins and gives them double reward. The first reward is for following their own scripture, and the second reward is following the Quran. Allah says next, "But those who disbelieved and denied our signs, they are the companions of hellfire." O you who have believed, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, do not prohibit the good things which Allah has made lawful to you, and do not transgress. Indeed, Allah does not like transgressors. And eat of what Allah has provided for you, which is lawful and good, and fear Allah in whom you are believers. Allah orders us, كُلُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. It must be halal, and it must be tayyib. Tayyib means pure, wholesome, good for us. Wattaqullah, fear Allah. We must fear Allah, be cautious of Allah in what we eat and drink. Ali bin Abi Talha said that Ibn Abbas said, this ayah, number 87, was revealed about some of the companions who said that we will abandon the desires of this life and travel in the world, just as the monks do. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard the statement, he summoned them and asked them if they had made the statement, and they answered yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I fast and break my fast, pray and sleep, and marry women. Whoever follows my sunnah is of me, and whoever abandons my sunnah is not of me. We cannot become owners of halal and haram. We have to have the perfect balance, or strive for the perfect balance. We must obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just physically but spiritually as well. Because the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has the perfect balance. Do not make religion too hard for yourself. And neither can we make up our own religion. Allah says next, Allah will not impose blame upon you for what is meaningless in your oaths. Meaning that which we swear out of habit of speech, or what one utters carelessly without true intent. So Allah says that He will not impose blame upon us for what is meaningless. Then He says, but He will impose blame upon you for breaking what you intended of oaths. So its expiation, meaning its fidya, the makeup for it, is the feeding of 10 needy people from the average of that which you feed your own families, or clothing them, or freeing of a slave. But whoever cannot find or afford it, then a fast for 3 days is required. That is an expiation for oaths when you have sworn. But guard your oaths, meaning do not take oaths indiscriminately or swear to do that which is sinful, requiring expiation. Thus does Allah make clear to you His verses, meaning reveal law, that you may be grateful. O you who have believed, indeed intoxicants, gambling, sacrificing on stone altars to other than Allah, and divining arrows are but defilement, rids, filth from the work of Satan. So avoid it that you may be successful. The Arabic for the word avoid is ijtanibu, which means distancing oneself from anything remotely related to these practices. Satan only wants to cause between you animosity and hatred through intoxicants and gambling, and to avert you from the remembrance of Allah and from prayer, so will you not desist. This was a last injunction related to alcohol. When this was revealed, Umar radiallahu anhu was called, and this was recited to him because he was waiting for such a command. And then he said, "We abstain, we abstain." Alcohol became completely forbidden. The trade in it became completely forbidden. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, 10 matters related to khamr or alcohol were cursed. Khamr itself was cursed. Whoever drinks it, its server, seller, buyer, brewer, who asks for it to be brewed, whoever carries it, whomever it is carried to, and whoever consumes its price. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was walking and found a leather skin hanging containing alcohol. So he asked for a knife and ordered that the skin be cut open. He then said, "Khamr, alcohol, was cursed, and so are those who drink it, serve it, sell it, buy it, carry it, have it carried to them, brew it, have it brewed, and consume its price." In another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever drinks alcohol in the life of this world and does not repent from it will be deprived of it in the hereafter." This is from Bukhari and Muslim. Is it just alcohol? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Every intoxicant is khamr, because khamr means something that covers your head." He said, "Every intoxicant is khamr, and every intoxicant is unlawful. Whoever drinks khamr and dies while addicted to it without repenting from drinking it will not drink it in the hereafter." This is from Sahih Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ also said, "He who believes in Allah and the last day must not even sit at a tablecloth where wine is being circulated." Aisha radiallahu anha said, "I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, 'Every intoxicant is haram. If a large quantity of anything causes intoxication, a handful of it is also haram.' Alcohol is destructive. Gambling is destructive. Sacrificing on stone altars, meaning to other than Allah, is destructive. Divining arrows, meaning that people would throw arrows in order to find out their fortune or decide what to do next, subhanallah, this is putting your trust in someone other than Allah, and this is shirk. Right after these ayahs, Allah says, وَأَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيُوا الرَّسُولَ وَاحْذَرُوا, and obey Allah and obey the Messenger and beware. And if you turn away, then know that upon our Messenger is only the responsibility for clear notification. That means a person will have to be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is not upon those who believe and do righteousness any blame concerning what they have eaten in the past. If they now fear Allah and believe and do righteous deeds, and then fear Allah and believe, and then fear Allah and do good, and Allah loves the doers of good. Why has Allah mentioned these stages? First, He said that they fear Allah and believe and do righteous deeds. This is their acceptance of Islam. Allah says, and then fear Allah and believe. That means that taqwa increases and they truly believe in Allah and the standing before Him on the Day of Judgment and being questioned. When a person believes more intensely, he or she rises to the level of ihsan. So Allah says, and then fear Allah and do good. ثُمَّ اتَّقَوْا وَأَحْسَنُوا. Ihsan. Ihsan is the highest level of iman. And this is where Allah wants to see us. He says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah loves those who work at the level of ihsan. May Allah make us of those. Ameen. So what is the difference between iman and Islam and ihsan? Umar radiallahu anhu said, while we were one day sitting with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there appeared before us a man dressed in extremely white clothes and with very black hair. No traces of journeying were visible on him, and none of us knew him. He sat down close by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rested his knee against his thighs, and said, O Muhammad, inform me about Islam. Said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Islam is that you should testify that there is no deity save Allah, and that Muhammad is His messenger, that you should perform salah, pay the zakah, fast during Ramadan, and perform hajj to the house, if you can find a way to it. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Said he, the man, you have spoken truly. We were astonished at his thus questioning him and telling him that he was right. But he went on to say, inform me about iman. He, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, it is that you believe in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers and in the last day and in fate, qadr, both in its good and its evil aspects. He said, you have spoken truly. Then he, the man, said, inform me about ihsan. He, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, answered, it is that you should serve Allah as though you could see Him. For though you cannot see Him, yet He sees you. He said, inform me about the hour. He, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, about that the one questioned knows no more than the questioner. So he said, well, inform me about the signs of its coming. He said, they are that the slave girl will give birth to her mistress, that you will see the barefooted ones, the naked, the destitute, the herdsmen of sheep, competing with each other in raising lofty buildings. Thereupon the man left. I waited a while, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Umar, do you know who that questioner was? I replied, Allah and His Messenger know best. He said, it was Jibreel. He came to teach you your religion. What an extraordinary event. Alhamdulillah. Let's remember, Wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. Allah loves the doers of good. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya rabbal alameen. Ameen. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu. O you who have believed, Allah will surely test you through something of the game that your hands and spears can reach, that Allah may make evident those who fear Him unseen. And whoever transgresses after that, for him is a painful punishment. O you who have believed, do not kill game while you are in the state of ihram. And whoever of you kills it intentionally, the penalty is an equivalent from sacrificial animals to what he killed, as judged by two men among you, as an offering to Allah delivered to the Kaaba, or an expiation, the feeding of needy people, or the equivalent of that in fasting, that he may taste the consequence of his matter, meaning his deed. Allah has pardoned what is past, but whoever returns to violation, then Allah will take retribution from him, and Allah is exalted in might, an owner of retribution. When the Muslims were on their way to Hudaybiyah in their ihram, they found some animals on the way and they stopped to hunt them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down ayat to order them not to hunt while in a state of ihram. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said that He will surely test you through something of the game that your hands and spears can reach, meaning Allah will test us by forbidding something but also putting it within our hands' reach. Subhanallah, that is very difficult to abstain from that at that moment. Something that you really desire, something that you really want, but and it is so easy to reach and to come by, but then we have to stop ourselves. Subhanallah. May Allah make it easy for us, Ameen. And Allah in His infinite generosity has told us that He will test us like this. Lawful to you is game from the sea, and its food as provision for you and the travelers. But forbidden to you is game from the land, as long as you are in the state of ihram. And fear Allah to whom you will be gathered. So when a person is going to pilgrimage, and they have made an intention for the pilgrimage, and are wearing their ihram. Ihram means a state of intention for the pilgrimage. Then certain rules apply. One of them is that a person may not hunt. Allah has made the Kaaba, the sacred house, standing for the people, and has sanctified the sacred months and the sacrificial animals and the garlands by which they are identified. That is so you may know that Allah knows what is in the heavens and what is in the earth, and that Allah is knowing of all things. All of these are the symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the sanctified symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all of them are sacred. يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Know that Allah is severe in penalty, and that Allah is forgiving and merciful. Two opposites in this ayah. Allah says, fear Him because He is severe in penalty. But at the same time, He is also very forgiving and merciful. Why both these aspects in one ayah? Because it is up to us which of these we want to appeal to. Do you want to appeal to Allah's forgiving and merciful side, or do you want to make Him angry? Allah says, not upon the messenger is responsibility except for notification, and Allah knows whatever you reveal and whatever you conceal. Say, not equal are the evil and the good, although the abundance of evil might impress you. So fear Allah, O you of understanding, that you may be successful. What is the formula for success? فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Possessors of intellect, Allah says, if you are smart, fear Allah so that you will be successful. Because al-khabith, things that are impure, wa-tayyib, and things that are pure are not equal. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثِ. Even if you see khabith, filth everywhere, the impure everywhere, the evil everywhere, a lot of it, Allah says they are not equal, do not fall for it. He speaks to us again, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who have believed, do not ask about things which, if they are shown to you, will distress you, but if you ask about them while the Quran is being revealed, they will be shown to you. Allah has pardoned, meaning forgiven that which is in the past, and Allah is forgiving and forbearing. Allah is very tolerant. Al-Bukhari recorded that Ibn Abbas said, some people used to question the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to mock him. One of them would ask, who is my father? While another would ask, where is my camel? When he lost his camel, Allah sent down this ayah about them. O you who have believed, ask not about things which, if made plain to you, may cause you trouble, and also not to question too much in religion. Too many questions in religion will make religion difficult for us. However, we do need to try to understand our religion to the best of our ability, but asking beyond what is required in persistent questions simply makes religion too difficult. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us wonderful advice, as always. On the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, What I have forbidden for you, avoid. What I have ordered you to do, do as much of it as you can. For verily it was only the excessive questioning and their disagreeing with their prophets that destroyed the nations who were before you. This was related by Bukhari and Muslim. Our deen is an easy deen. Learn the basics of the religion. Understand the religion. And then avoid what the Prophet, peace be upon him, has ordered us to avoid. However, as far as the good is concerned, the good deeds are concerned, he said, what I have ordered for you to do, do as much of it as you can. So what is the difference between the two here? As far as sinful things are concerned, we must avoid them. Not to the best of our ability, but completely. However, on the other side, the good deeds, he said, do those as much as you can, and do not ask too many questions. Do not dispute in matters of religion, and ask Allah to guide you to the truth. Allah says next, A people ask such questions before you when they became thereby disbelievers, because then they became unwilling to carry out what was commanded of them. Allah has not appointed such innovations as Bahira or Sa'iba or Wasila or Ham. What are these? These are categories of particular animals which were dedicated to the idols and set free to pasture, liberated from the service of man. Allah says, But those who disbelieve invent falsehood about Allah, and most of them do not reason. This is bid'ah. Bid'ah is innovation in religious rituals. And this was a historical act of human beings. Allah says, And when it is said to them, Come to what Allah has revealed, and to the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say, Sufficient for us is that upon which we found our fathers. Allah asks one simple question, even though their fathers knew nothing, nor were they guided. So if people are practicing bid'ah, just like the mushrikeen had changed their religion, they had changed the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. They had changed the religion of Ismail alayhi salam and brought new inventions into it. So Allah says, even if your forefathers who had changed the religion were not guided, even then you would continue to follow? No, you should come to what Allah and His Messenger teach, what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam follows. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have believed, upon you is responsibility for yourselves. Those who have gone astray will not harm you when you have been guided. To Allah is your return altogether. Then He will inform you of what you used to do. So Allah now says, Stop wondering about other people. Do not care too much about what others are doing. Think of yourself. What am I doing? Am I following what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have ordained? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who have believed, testimony should be taken among you when death approaches one of you at the time of bequest, that of two just men from among you, or two others, meaning non-Muslims from outside, if you are traveling through the land and disaster of death should strike you. Detain them after the prayer and let them both swear by Allah if you doubt the testimony, saying, We will not exchange for a price, meaning worldly gain, even if he should be a near relative, and we will not withhold the testimony ordained by Allah. Indeed, we would then be of the sinful. But if it is found that those two were guilty of sin, meaning perjury, let two others stand in their place who are foremost in claim from those who have a lawful right. And let them swear by Allah, meaning the relatives of the deceased, and let them swear by Allah, our testimony is truer than their testimony, and we have not transgressed. Indeed, we would then be of the wrongdoers. That is more likely that they will give testimony according to its true objective, or at least they would fear that other oaths might be taken after their oaths. And fear Allah and listen, and Allah does not guide the defiantly disobedient people. The will, the bequest of a deceased person is extremely important. So if someone has not had the chance yet to make a will and they are traveling, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that before they die, they need to make sure there are witnesses who can take their testimony about their will. And remember now that Muslims, as Muslims now, we can only will 1/3 of our property. So if you and I own 1,000 rupees or $1,000, then out of that we can take away $300 and give it to someone other than our direct inheritors. The rest of it is going to be distributed according to the law of Allah, as we have learned in Surah An-Nisa. Allah says, "Be warned of the day when Allah will assemble the messengers and say, 'What was the response you received?' They will say, 'We have no knowledge. Indeed, it is you who is knower of the unseen.' This ayah clearly tells us that all the messengers will say, 'We do not know what our ummah did after we left.' None of the messengers have the ability to know what we are doing with our lives now, but they will see on the day of judgment. Allah says, 'The day when Allah will say, O Jesus, son of Mary, remember my favor upon you and upon your mother when I supported you with the pure spirit,' meaning angel Jibreel, and you spoke to the people in the cradle and in maturity, and remember when I taught you writing and wisdom and the Torah and the gospel, and when you designed from clay what was like the form of a bird with my permission. Then you breathed into it, and it became a bird with my permission. And you healed the blind from birth, and the leper with my permission. And when you brought forth the dead with my permission, and when I restrained the children of Israel from killing you, when you came to them with clear proofs, and those who disbelieved among them said, 'This is not but obvious magic.' And remember when I inspired to the disciples, 'Believe in me and in my messenger,' meaning Jesus, peace be upon him. They said, 'We have believed, so bear witness that indeed we are Muslims in submission to Allah.' And remember when the disciples said, 'O Jesus, son of Mary, can your Lord send down to us a table spread with food from the heaven?' Jesus said, 'Fear Allah if you should be believers. Why are you asking or demanding miracles from Allah? Is it not enough what Isa alayhi salam came with?' They said, 'We wish to eat from it and let our hearts be reassured and know that you have been truthful to us and be among its witnesses.' They simply wanted to see something that would increase their iman, make their feet firmer upon faith. Said Jesus, the son of Mary, 'O Allah, our Lord, send down to us a table spread with food from the heaven to be for us a festival for the first of us and the last of us, and a sign from you, and provide for us, and you are the best of providers.' Allah said, 'Indeed, I will send it down to you, but whoever disbelieves afterwards from among you, then indeed will I punish him with the punishment by which I have not punished anyone among the worlds.' It is a great thing to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of something, but when it comes, we must believe and we cannot turn back. And beware the day when Allah will say, 'O Jesus, son of Mary, did you say to the people, take me and my mother as deities besides Allah?' Subhanallah, what a difficult day for every one of us. A difficult day for the prophets of Allah as well. Allah will question them directly. Allah will ask Isa alayhi salam, 'Did you tell them to do this?' Why has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listed all of those things that he did for Isa alayhi salam? How he chose him, how he taught him, how he aided him, and he made him a miracle. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us and reminding them that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave all those powers to Isa alayhi salam. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who chose him, who brought him to this world. It was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who chose his mother and who chose Isa alayhi salam as a servant and messenger. Then Allah asks, on the day of judgment, did you say to them that they should worship you? Whereas it was Allah who did all of these things. What will be the reply of Isa alayhi salam? Allah tells us, he will say, exalted are you, subhanaka, free from all imperfections. It was not for me to say that to which I have no right. If I had said it, you would have known it. You know what is within myself, and I do not know what is within yourself. Indeed, it is you who is knower of the unseen. I said not to them except what you commanded me, to worship Allah, my Lord, and your Lord, and I was a witness over them as long as I was among them. But when you took me up, you were the observer over them, and you are over all things witness. Ghaib unseen is only in the power of Allah. He will continue, if you should punish them, indeed they are your servants. But if you forgive them, indeed it is you who is the exalted in might, the wise. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam once asked me to recite the Quran to him. I said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, should I recite it to you when it has been revealed to you? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded, I love to hear it from another person. Thereupon I began reciting Surah An-Nisa. When I reached the ayah, how when we bring of every person a witness, and we bring you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a witness against them? He said, I saw tears flowing from both of his eyes. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was burdened by this position of being a witness against his own ummah. Aisha radiallahu anha narrated, one night Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept repeating one ayah the whole night and continued to weep. If you should punish them, indeed they are your servants. But if you forgive them, indeed it is you who is the exalted in might, the wise. May Allah forgive us. Ameen. May Allah accept the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for us. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Allah says, Allah will say, this is the day when the truthful will benefit from their truthfulness. For them are gardens in paradise beneath which rivers flow, wherein they will abide forever, Allah being pleased with them and they with him. That is the great attainment. What is this title? This title is something we are familiar with. Radiallahu anhum wa radu an. Radiallahu anhum, Allah being pleased with them. Wa radu anhu, and they are pleased with him. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. This is the greatest attainment. This is the greatest success. There is no other success. Nothing of this dunya is truly a success except piety. Nothing of this dunya can compare to the success of this certificate of approval from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that Allah is pleased with someone. This was a title that was given to the Sahaba. So, is it over? Can we not have this? No, can no one after the Sahaba ever have this title? We can certainly strive for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not closed the doors of His mercy. Has He closed the doors of His pleasure? Can no one please Him anymore afterwards? Allah has still kept the Quran with us. Allah has still kept the sunnah of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with us. He has not closed any doors. The doors of Jannah are still open. But the doors of hellfire are still open. Only 1 month. Just 1 month in which the doors of hellfire are closed. And that is Ramadan. This is a time to refocus ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا فِيهِنَّ. To Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and whatever is within them. وهو على كل شيء قدير. And he is over all things competent. He is the one who can truly make us of the Siddiqeen, the ones who are truthful. Allah says, on that day, you will benefit from your truthfulness. The people who speak the truth, who confirm the truth of what Isa alayhi salam came with, the truth of who he was, they will benefit on the day of judgment. The Sahaba, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the confirmer of the truth. Maryam alayhi salam, Siddiqa, the confirmer of the truth. People who know the truth and then they follow it. That is confirming the truth. They stand up for the truth. Those are the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed. Those are the people who, despite all difficulties, despite all criticism, despite all obstacles, will stand up for the truth because they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. And all they want is to please God. That is their main focus in life. When they please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then everyone else will be pleased with them. That is ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. That is the truest, greatest success. Because everything belongs to Allah. The kingdom of this heaven, of all the heavens, of all the galaxies, of this earth and multiple more earths like this, it all belongs to Allah. Why would we choose a lesser idol to look up to? There are no other gods besides Allah. Allah is the one and only one worthy of worship. La ilaha illallah. No one worthy of worship except Allah. Why look to something else? Allah is competent over all things. Allah can make it happen. Allah can give us the certificate if we ask for it and if we are sincere and if we are truthful. Allahumma ja'alna minhum ya rabbal alameen.